Yeah. सब लोग सब लोग और पास आ रहे हैं। Don't worry, हम शुद्ध खाना आदमी हाँ श्री गुरु गुरंग कृष्ण बालदेव की श्री बाल गोविंद के हाँ so I'm coming from South America, so I'm used to working with a translator. I say something in English and people will translate it into Spanish, but everybody here speaks English. So very nice to be here. I want to thank our anfitriones, auspiciadores. My name is Hanumat Preshak. So on Indian inland letters, it used to say Preshak Kanam Hai, name of dispatcher, sender. Right? So this is a Hanumat Preshak, the sender of Hanuman.
Hey.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So we have a web page. It's jayarama.us, because we're Americans here, right? Yeah. Jayarama.us. It's esoteric. And tonight we're supposed to talk a little bit about the ultimate goal of life. In Bhagavad Gita 8:21, 8th chapter, 21st verse, Krishna talks about Tad Dhamma Paramam Mama, my supreme abode, like that. And he says it's what the Vedantists try to understand is the non-differentiated absolute. What yogis are aspiring after, that's my supreme abode. And once somebody goes there, he doesn't have to come back. If you go to Hawaii right now, you'll have to come back. Right? I know. Very nice. In Hawaii, there's no mosquitoes, there's no snakes. Even the pigs eat mangoes in Hawaii. Yeah. But you have to come back. Yeah. And again, you can become Indra. You can drink nectar with Indra in heaven. Yeah? But you have to come back. Yeah. So, Tad Dhamma Paramam Mama. Yeah. Once they go there, they never come back. And then, but he doesn't give much detail in Bhagavad Gita. It's Akshar Dham. It's eternal. You don't have to have a flashlight or electric bill. Everything there is self-illumined. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna begins to give more details. Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita. Where does the Mahabharata finish? What's the name of the last parva? Last parva is named? Shanti Parva. And what's happening there? Yeah. Peace comes out of the muzzle of a six-shooter, right? Yeah. Everybody's dead. And so Bhishma is giving final instructions to you to steer. That's most of the Shanti Parva. It's the best summary of Varnashram system and all the Vedas. So very important, But then after that, Srimad Bhagavatam begins. Historically, and then also philosophically. The battle's over. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks about then, okay, Krishna's going to go back to Dwarka. Kunti offers very beautiful prayers to try and convince him not to go. Some people say you come because Brahma needs your help. Some people say you come because pious kings need your help. Some people say this, some people say that. And Krishna is smiling. You haven't caught me yet. those are none of the real reasons why I come. I'm not going to stay for those reasons. And then finally she said, well, some people say you come to revive the process of hearing and chanting. And then Krishna smiles. Yes, you've got me. So wherever there's continuous Krishna katha, talking about Krishna, his holy names, his Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, that he can't escape. Even Yamaraj likes to come. And this is the problem because it says as long as there's devotees are performing kirtan, then nobody will die. Because Yamaraj will be too busy with the kirtan. So you have to stop sometimes. Let people leave. He's going to go. Die. So, then in the third canto, it's very nice. Vidura's disgusted with everything. He's disgusted with his nephew and Duryodhana. So finally he just walks out. And he goes traveling and he meets, who does he meet? Uddhava. Uddhava first. Great sage Uddhava. And Uddhava is very, very great personality, very dear to Krishna. He's described as the greatest of all the members of the Yadu dynasty. You know, Vidura is from the Kaurava dynasty, from Hastinapur. And they maybe can appreciate Krishna as a Paramatma. But the Yadus have more higher comprehension. They can appreciate who he is more. You know? And out of those, the greatest is Uddhava. But even he has to go to Vrindavan, right? And to take lessons from the gopis. So Krishna sends him there. And a very famous, you know, story of him coming there and appreciating all these things. Vande Nanda Brajastriyam Padarenum Abhikshna Saha Yasham Hari Kato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. Let me offer my respectful to the ladies of the village of Nanda Maharaj. And offer, you know, to the dust of their lotus feet eternally. Vande Nanda Brajastriyam Padarenum Abhikshna Saha, eternally, forever, like that. Well, why are you bowing down to some cowherd girls like that? You know, Yasham Hari Katod Gitam. They're very loud chanting of the glories of Hari. Punati Bhuvanatrayam purifies the three worlds like that. Yeah, so very respectful to the gopis like that, ladies in Vrindavan. And he, of course, is very famous. He was desiring just to be a piece of grass in Vrindavan that somebody might step on him. Oh, some service in Vrindavan. You know? So then he comes back to where's that place? Dwarka? In Dwarka. I think Krishna's in Dwarka, I think.
Yeah, at that time.
Yeah. And then there's the, what do you call it? Uddhava Sandesh. Prabhu Goswami, where he's giving instructions of Uddhava how to go and what to say and what to do and different places like that. He says, I'm getting some news about what's happening there, but I want you to go and give me some more news. And I just, you know, I think it's just totally terrible situation. I didn't want to leave, you know, but I was forced to leave by my karma, by my destiny. I had to come back and fight with my uncle, you know, Kangsa. So you have to go there. He says, actually, all the trees and creepers and plants in Vrindavan, they would have just died, just burned to death in separation, but they haven't done that because they're drowning in the gopis' tears like that. So much water from the tears of the gopis that they can't, you know, they're not dying from separation like that. You know. It's a very unusual situation. Chandidas, he's my Lord Chaitanya, our Acharya. He likes very much the poetry of Jayadev, Chandidas, and Vidyapati. So Vidyapati, these are all people who are appreciating this humor of conjugal love, you know, humor of Vrindavan, before Lord Chaitanya. So Vidyapati is saying, Vrindavan is a very unusual place. Very unusual. He said, look, there's one young girl, she's running off, it's evening time, it's actually when most people, especially young girls, should be in their house, you know, with the family and settling down for the night. But she's running there, and overhead there's clouds are dark, and there's threats of rain. And in the forest there's animals, maybe even some tigers making noise. And the thorns in the bushes are catching her new sari as she's running. She's so anxious to meet her beloved. And so then Vidyapati says, Vrindavan is such a strange place. Only in Vrindavan does the honey run after the bee. Vrindavan dam ki.
Yeah.
It's a very strange place. You know, do you want to go there? Do you want to, you know, achieve this consciousness? Yeah. So Uddhava, when Vidura meets him, you know, Uddhava is just absorbed in feelings of separation from Krishna, you know, feelings of attachment like that. And everybody else gets to go with Krishna. You know, Dhritarashtra is leaving, Kunti is leaving, the Pandavas are leaving, they're all going with Krishna like that. And Uddhava also wants to go. But he says, Uddhava, if you leave, there's no one to take care of the devotees, you know, when I'm gone. So I'm asking you, please, you know, just to stay and take care of them. You know? So Uddhava agrees. And then Krishna instructs him for about 15 chapters or something in the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita. Yeah. And very beautiful instructions, so he's properly educated how to take care of the devotees. Then he heads for Bhadarika Ashram to stay there, and he's still there. So if you're a very serious person in devotional service, you can go to Bhadarika Ashram and find Uddhava and get all the instruction you need, you know, to be properly situated in Kali Yuga, like that. So en route, then, Vidura meets him, and he asks him, please instruct me. And Uddhava, for some time, he talks about things, and he says, but actually, you should go see Maitreya. Maitreya is very near here, and I can't actually instruct you because you're the same age as my own father, like that, and Maitreya is your contemporary, so it would be very impertinent for me to instruct you. This is called Guru Maryada Vyatikrama. Guru Maryada Vyatikrama. Surpassing a higher authority. And there are many examples of this in Vedic culture. You know, like that. So because of the etiquette, the Prabhupada says, but one should not transgress these laws. You know. So, and also because Maitreya wasn't a pure devotee. He still had invisible contaminations in his mind, like we're reading this morning. You know. He was a little attached to his own knowledge, his own wisdom. Yeah. Well, Krishna, you're saying it's like this and that, and it's very nice, but Angusti Muni says this, Angira says that, and we should also consider these things. You know. So, some jnana mishra bhakti. Right? We're trying to get to this point of pure bhakti, but sometimes it's mixed with certain desires for fruity results. I'm worshiping God because I want something. You know. I'm worshiping God because I want to know something, jnana mishra. Or I want to control my mind, jnana mishra, like that. You know? So he thought, Uddhava thought, if Vidura goes and asks him questions, then that will stimulate Maitreya to think of the answers and say, yes, that's right. Ah, I become completely purified. So he didn't want to instruct somebody who's like his father. He didn't want in the presence of another person. He didn't want to, and he also wanted him to benefit Maitreya. Yeah. Maitreya was there when Krishna was departing, when Krishna was giving the final instructions to Uddhava, and then Maitreya came, and Krishna didn't talk to him. He just kind of smiled to this respectable person and kind of indicated, please sit down. But he didn't talk to Uddhava. Then Maitreya was listening in Krishna's presence like that. So very subtle things. You may think, these four principles in devotional service, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no coffee, tea, or chocolate. These things, very difficult. But after that, there's other problems. Right? Once you solve those problems, you go beyond the second canto to the third canto, then you have more problems, other problems, like that, on and on, like that. And then finally, we become completely purified. And then we're qualified to serve Krishna. I was listening to one lecture today, and Prabhupada said, you have to work. He says, if you want to get an education, you have to work. So how do you think that going back to Godhead, you can do that without working? No. I have to work. But I have to make money. What for? For a dead body? For more dead bodies? No. Make some money to maintain the body so you can do the real work, right? Which is yoga. Otherwise, next lifetime, suppose you can't determine. You can't say, my next lifetime I want this body. No. We don't know. And why? We're maybe just passing through here. We're just fortunate. Yeah? So we have to get little progress in devotional service. Nihabi kramo nasho sti pratyavayo navidyate svapamapyas dharmasya. Yeah, little devotional service and you get another human body. And maybe you associate with devotees. Maybe why we're here now. Right? That's why we're here now. Yeah. Wow. Like Hercules. Give it to the bear. Yeah. So then when Maitreya meets Uddhava, when Vidura... if it works, don't fix it. When Vidura meets Uddhava, he starts to remember things. Where are we here? Vidura talks to Maitreya. No, go back. Questions by Vidura. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thereafter, Vidura passed, after leaving the Kuru dynasty, Kuru palaces, thereafter he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sovirya, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jungala. At last, he reached the bank of the Pecos River, the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. Sa Vasudevanucharam prasantam prihaspate praktanaya pratitam. Then, due to his great love and feeling, Vidura embraced Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati's. Vidura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Kachit purana purushau svan abai pabananu vrityehe kila vitirnau. Vidura inquired, please let me know whether the original personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Balaram, who incarnate themselves at the request of Brahma, who is born from the lotus flower of the Lord's navel, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Surasena. Please tell me whether the best friend of the Kurus, our brother-in-law Vasudeva, is doing well. He is very munificent. He is like a father to his sisters and is always pleasing to his wives. O Uddhava, please tell me how is Pradyumna, the commander-in-chief of the Yadus, who was Cupid in a former life. Rukmini bore him as her son from Lord Krishna and by the grace of the Brahmanas whom she pleased. O friend, tell me whether Ugrasena, the king of the Satvatas, Vrishnis, Bhojas, and Dasaras, is now doing well. He went far away from his kingdom, leaving aside all hopes of his royal throne, but Lord Krishna again installed him. O gentle one, the Samba, farewell. He is exactly resembles the son of the personality of Godhead. In a previous birth, he was born of Kartikeya in the womb of the wife of Lord Shiva. And now he has been born in the womb of Jambavati, the most enriched wife of Krishna. O Uddhava, does Yuyudhana fare well? He learned the intricacies of military art from Arjuna and attained a transcendental destination, which is very difficult to reach even for great renouncers. Please tell me whether Akrura, the son of Svapalaka, is doing well. He is faultless and surrendered under the personality of Godhead. He once lost his equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of the road, which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna. As the Vedas are the reservoir of sacrificial purposes, so the daughter of King Devaka Bhoja conceived the personality of Godhead in her womb, as did the mother of the demigods. Is she, Devaki, doing well? May I inquire whether Aniruddha is doing well? He is the fulfiller of all desires of the pure devotees and has been considered from yore to be the cause of the Rig Veda, the creator of the mind, and the fourth plenary expansion of the Lord. O sober ones, others such as Fridik, Charudeshna, Gada, and son of Satyabhama, who accept Lord Krishna as the soul of the self and thus follow his path without deviation, are they also well? Let me inquire about Maharaj Yudhisthira. Please let me know about Arjuna. Are the twin brothers, Nukula and Saha, doing well? How is Pritha? Having for a long one like that. Yeah. And he talks about different pastimes before this. O friend, please therefore chant the glories of the Lord, who is meant to be glorified in places of pilgrimage. He is unborn, and yet he appears by his causeless mercy upon the surrendered rulers of all parts of the universe. Only for their interest did he appear in the family of the unalloyed devotees of the Yadu. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta translations of questions by Vidura. Chapter 2, third canto, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the messages of the dearmost, Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of Krishna. He was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age, the attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about him. For a moment he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper into that ecstasy. Oops. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It was observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord to the human plane, and wiping his eyes, he awakened his reminiscences of the past and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. So these are different bhavas, right? Again, you'll find this everywhere. Somebody by yoga or that may control the mind. They may be able to stay in some kind of artificial trance by staring at a candle, by controlling their breathing, doing different things like that. You have all these, but it's mechanical. The real practical samadhi is based upon development of our natural qualities, our natural tendencies. So Rupa Goswami summarizes all these things on Lord Chaitanya's instructions, potency. And he's describing that bhakti goes through different levels. In the beginning, maybe you want to be a karmi, you want this and that, okay. But somehow or other, Brahmande Brahmate Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, you get a taste of pure devotional service, somehow or other. And you want that. So Rupa Goswami says, all right, even though you have so many attachments, and this is what you want, then you can start the process of bhakti. So in the beginning, it's Vaidhi Bhakti. Rules, regulations, get up, do this, do that, do this, do that. And if you learn how to do those very nicely, then you'll always stay liberated. You'll always be peaceful. You'll always be happy at that point. You mind, who am I, what is life, what am I doing, like that. And then you can take up the process of Raga Nuga. Following the Raga, the humor of someone like Uddhava or Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda, like that. Raga, Anuga, going after that. So you're following your sadhana principles, but now you're starting to, how would Hanuman deal with a situation like that? Or how do the gopis cook lunch for Krishna? How do the cowherd boys have lunch with Krishna? How did Yashoda have lunch with Krishna? You're going on the altar, you're making the offering, it's on time, everything is proper. Hey, it's at 12 o'clock, I'll be back in half an hour for your lunch. Hari bol, Let me at least try to feel something. Right? Try to feel something, So that's Raga Nuga. It's imitation. It's sadhana. You're still practicing. You're still using the starter motor. Okay. So there's two aspects, following rules and regulations. And that will take you to Vaikuntha if you're perfect. But to accelerate that, you can try and follow the example of an advanced devotee. And to go to Goloka, you actually have to follow Raga Nuga. You have to follow some advanced devotee there. So you go on doing this, and what happens? Okay. That wasn't the starter motor anymore, right? That was the real thing. But it wasn't strong, it wasn't intense. So that's bhava bhakti. Bhava bhakti means we're actually preliminary stage of love of God, right? But it's not intense enough for Krishna to relish properly like that. You want to protect Krishna. You want to be like his mother, right? You want to protect him. You want to take care of him. That's my sentiment, my nature, my Thai Baba. But it's not intense enough for Krishna to take advantage of it. So Baba Bhakti means we have to increase these things to the point of... Yes. I can show you a different function for that. One time, Prince Wang... Prince Wang's chief programmer was talking to a neophyte programmer who was playing a computer game when he was supposed to be doing his studies. He said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, chief programmer, please forgive my insolence. It is a computer game." And he says, "Oh, yes, usually they have two settings, neophyte and advanced. But there's a third setting, in which neither does the player compete with the game, nor does the game compete with the player. He says, "Oh, chief programmer, please show me that stage." You know, so he dropped it on the ground and smashed it. My soul. Yeah. Right. Yeah. A little more closer. Or pass. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. 16,108 species of life. Yeah. So there's Vaidhi Bhakti, following rules and regulations. Raganuga Bhakti. Yeah. Raganuga Bhakti means? What? There'll be a test afterwards. No prasadam, you pass the test. So Raganuga means? Yeah. Going after the raga, imitating. And then? The real feelings are coming. You know? But again, it's like you gotta. Now, when your motor starts to turn over, you got to flutter the gas pedal, you got to, you know. So there are different things in Bhava Bhakti. If you're starting to feel real intense feelings from the soul, at that point, it's impossible to function on the material platform. You can no longer function. The material world ceases to exist, really. Everything is something coming from Krishna. You can see that in terms of a feeling, a sentiment, you know, Krishna. Yeah? So, Uddhava. And then Bhava Bhakti is the different bhavas. Vibhava is the stimulus. This is all described in Nectar of Devotion. He takes everything out of the Bhagavatam on Lord Chaitanya's order and puts it systematically in one book. You'll find all these things here. It's described. He'll use these examples in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 500 years ago. And people in different traditions, Orthodox Christians, everybody, they say, yeah, we appreciate the same things. Ah, but he's describing it so nicely like that. And they appreciate such a great theological book. So we have it available. So the need to talks about Bhava Bhakti, this level, in terms of different aspects. The first is Vibhava, stimulus. Something has to stimulate these reactions eternally on the transcendental platform like that. So usually it's divided in two categories, Udipana and Alambana. I think Udipana is things directly in terms of Krishna himself. Krishna smiles at you, right?
Oh.
Yeah? Or something like that. And Alambana is things in terms of Krishna. You've been away for a long time and finally you get a chance to go to the temple and you see it on the street there and you go, Arimo! Ah, you know. You tell your friends, we're here, we got here. Oh, you know. So Vibhava is a stimulus. Krishna, or something in terms of Krishna, which then, you know, brings us to remember Krishna. And the reaction then is Anubhava, which may be voluntarily clapping your hands or, you know, saying something like that. And also another reaction is Sattvika Bhava. Sattvika Bhava reactions are involuntarily, like crying or convulsions. You don't do that. You know, now I'm going to cry. You know, now I'm going to convulsion. So Anubhava and Sattvika Bhava are both reactions to Vibhava. And then there's Sthayi Bhava. So Sthayi Bhava is our eternal, transcendental, mellow, right? Rati and Krishna. As a friend, as a servant, right? As a lover, as a parent, or just in terms of respect, these five rasas, like that. And finally, the last one is Vyabhichari Bhavas. And these are emotions. They aren't like reactions so much, but they're emotions that come in terms of the Vibhava, the stimulus, like that. And it's extremely technical. There's like, how's it go? There's like 33 primary Vyabhichari Bhavas, which are then augmented in terms of 13 combinations of Vibhavas. And these are manifested in different circumstances and different. It's extremely technical, you know. It's a science like that. And so we can analyze all these things that are happening. We can see. So here Maitreya's, Vidura is appreciating that Vidura is on this level. Right? He's manifesting these sattvika bhavas in terms of becoming stunned, right? It's one of them. An ability to speak, you know, loss of consciousness, tears. But then somehow or other he has a job to do, so he puts this aside and comes back to the real essence of bhava, which is uninterrupted service to Krishna. It's my job for Krishna to talk to this person now about what's happening like that. So different bhavas. Vibhavas, Anubhava, Sthayi Bhava, Sattvika Bhavas. Maya. So actually tomorrow, Krishna Maharaj. Because sometimes Prabhupada was like talking about something. For example, I heard a lecture some time ago. And Prabhupada was talking about what is devotional service. This is Samanya Bhakti. It's the very beginning after devotion. What is devotional service? You know, Prabhupada says somebody may come to the temple, to the program. Let me go to this program tonight, worship God, and I'll get free from my cancer. I'll get good scores in the university. This will happen, like that. So he said, this is not devotional service. This is good. It's appreciating that Krishna is potent. Krishna can do something. Okay, it's good. But it's not devotional service. Devotional service, you never ask anything from Krishna. You see, listening to the lecture, and Prabhupada says the gopis, they never asked anything from Krishna. So for several seconds, there's this complete quiet on the tape. And after maybe like 20 seconds, you hear Prabhupada saying, Jai Hare Krishna! Kind of choking, Jai Hare Krishna! Like that. You know? So it's this bhava. Like he's being overwhelmed, remembering the gopis, and this vibhava, remembering the gopis, becomes the vibhava for this sattvika, this reaction in terms of becoming stunned like that. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj was asking Prabhupada one time, he said, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes you have these very, you know, ecstatic feelings like that, and you become stunned and so on. And we don't know what to do. How should we react? What should we do when this happens? So he said, Prabhupada said, but I don't do it very often. And this is, you know, time, place, circumstance, how to control these things, everything else. So Uddhava came back down from the platform of Goloka to the platform of the material world, you know, like that. You know, it's just like that. When you're in the spiritual consciousness, the material world becomes, it's just there. It's one portion. It's just like there's a city prison in Houston. And sure, there's a city prison, but it's a very small part of the city, and most people don't go there, right? Yeah, and most people don't even know where it is. Yeah? But okay, if you have your service to Krishna in the material world, you have to go back down from Goloka, through Vaikuntha, through the Brahma Jyoti, through the Vairagya River, come down to like Vidura. You know? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. She would have said, my dear Vidura, the son of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare? This universe, with all its planets, is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead any more than the fish could identify the moon. The Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still they were only able to know Him as the Supreme who dwells everywhere. Like Chaitanya is only what? Once there was a man, and he was newly married, and he was a little horse cart, right? With his wife going home. And the horse balked. And he got off, and the horse wouldn't go, and so he's screaming at the horse finally. And finally, the horse started to move, and he said, that's once. Okay. So he got back in the car with his new bride, and they went a little farther towards the house, and the horse stopped again. Wouldn't go. So finally, he's screaming, yelling, everything else, and finally, the horse started moving again. He said, that's twice. So they went a little farther, and the horse stopped again, wouldn't go, and he went around and said, that's three times. And he pulled out a gun and he shot the horse in the head and killed it. And his wife started screaming, what are you doing? That horse is so valuable. And he said, that's once. So that's twice. He also has any cell phones here, I don't know. It's a good story. Yeah. So hey, Chaitanya is only what, like, you know, two feet away from Radharani and Krishna, right? But how far away are you? You know? Yeah, yeah. What do you see? You know, but you see a statue, right?
Yeah. That's what I see, man.
Not really, you know, but it's always a very nice statue. Brahman, you know, we're taking Brahman initiation because we're Brahmanas. Na sochati, na kangshati. And we actually can appreciate there's something here, there's something valuable like that, you know. If somebody came in with a gun to shoot the deity, what would you do? I would get in front of them. Because yeah, that's once. Yeah. We appreciate that. No, let me stand in front of Krishna, Radhanila Madhava. If somebody's going to attack them, I would, you know, be ready to try and sacrifice my life. If I have to get beaten on long enough, I don't know how I would tolerate it, but definitely just, you know, there's no, you know. Because we appreciate there's something here. You know, so it's a real realization, but it becomes more and more purified like that, more and more intense until actually so the yadus, just like the moon is shining in the water, and so the fish kind of think the moon is another fish or something in the water like that. So the yadus, they kind of appreciated that Krishna was with them, but they couldn't fully appreciate. You know? They were seeing him more or less as the Paramatma, or Shantaras, or Dasyaras, like that. You know? Yeah. And Uddhava's realizing how unfortunate we are. He's more advanced. Yeah. Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him due to not executing his penances. He removed himself because they didn't have sufficient pious credits. Krishna and Balaram were hungry. The cowherd boys were hungry. They had to leave early. They didn't get any breakfast. So much work. Little boys. So Krishna said, there's some brahmanas here performing sacrifices. And they, you know, they have so many good things for the sacrifice. So you go there and ask them. You know? So they went there and the brahmanas said, no way. They didn't even talk to them. You know, these ignorant cowherd boys. We're brahmanas. You know? So they went back unhappy. And then Krishna said, go back and ask their wives, you know. So went back and asked these young girls, these young ladies, wives. And they said, oh, Krishna and Balaram are hungry. Oh, you know, so they took the food from the sacrifice and took it right to give to Krishna and Balaram. Their husbands wouldn't have told them, don't do that, you know. And they went. And then they all became, you know, completely, you know, what's it go? Jaya, Jaya, Dvija, Patni, Naga, Kanyagan. Bhakti te jahara pailo Govinda charan. They attained, you know, love for the lotus feet of Govinda by this sacrifice, by surrender. And then Krishna said, you go back to your husbands. They went back, and their husbands are looking at him. They're realizing they're brahmanas. They're in this platform of Brahman, and they're realizing this is para Brahman. Now our wives have achieved this wonderful state of ecstatic emotional love for Krishna, and they're eternally situated there. Like that. And he said, to hell with being Brahmins, to hell with the Vedic sacrifices, to hell with everything, for we have not attained this, you know, love of God. And they also wanted to go then and see Krishna and Balaram and surrender, but they didn't go because they were afraid Kamsa might hear and chastise them like that, because they didn't have sufficient pious background. That's what it's explaining like that. You know, by engaging the cowherd boys, only after accumulating heaps of pious activities could play with Krishna as their intimate friends. There's three kinds of punya. Punya to go to heaven, enjoy life. Punya to get out of this place. Or punya to advance in devotional service, which may take you to heaven or hell. You know, who knows what will happen. You know? So we have to acquire that background, right? And then we can appreciate these things. Sufficient pious credits. Okay. The Lord appeared in this mortal world by his internal potency, Yoga Maya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulences, including the Lord himself in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus, his, Sri Krishna's transcendental body is the ornament of all ornaments. It's fantastic Sanskrit. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of the Lord, they contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of all human beings. The damsels of Raja, after pastimes of laughter and humor, exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes unless they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth, just like fire, accompanied by the Mahatattva. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudeva, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Braja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear, all these bewildering incidents give me distress. Dunoti chetas marato mamai tad yadaha padavha bivandam pitroho. Lord Krishna begged pardon from his parents for their, Krishna and Balaram's, inability to serve their feet, due to being away from home because of great fear of Kamsa. He said, "O mother, O father, please excuse us for this inability. All this behavior of the Lord gives me pain at heart. Who, after smelling the dust of his lotus feet even once, could ever forget it? Simply by expanding the leaves of his eyebrows, Krishna has given the death blow to those with the burden of the earth. You have personally seen how the king of Chedi, Shishupal, achieved success in yoga practice, although he hated Lord Krishna. Actually, the yogis aspire for such success with great interest by performance of various practices. Who can tolerate separation from him? Certainly others who were fighters in the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows, and while seeing the lotus-like faces of Krishna so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Lord Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of good fortune. Yeah? He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Therefore, Vidura, does it not pain us, his servitors, when we remember that he, Lord Krishna, used to stand before King Ugrasena, who was sitting on the royal throne, and used to submit explanations before him, saying, "O my Lord, please let it be known to you." And this next verse is really famous. Aho baki, you know, aho baki yam stanakalakutam jighangsayapi yayad api asadvi. Lebe gatim datri uchittam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vajayim. Alas, how can I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? Right? He gave her liberation in the position in Goloka, even though she came as like a witch. I consider the demons who are inimical toward the Lord to be more than the devotees, because while fighting with the Lord, absorbed in thoughts of enmity, they are able to see the Lord carried on the shoulder of Garuda, the son of Taksha, and carrying the wheel of the wheel weapon in his hand. The personality of Godhead, being prayed for by Brahma to bring welfare to the earth, was begotten by Vasudeva in the womb of his wife Devaki in the prison of the kingdom of Bhoja. Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj, and there he lived for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. In his childhood, so this is a Lila Smarnam then, a Braja. Now he's, you know, remembering Krishna. You know. When Krishna leaves Vrindavan, does Krishna leave Vrindavan? See Sanskrit evidence for that?
For the eightfold merit.
Huh?
For the eightfold merit.
Yeah. Vrindavana Purityajya Ekaparam Nagachati. Backwards there. Yeah. So not even one step, ekapada nagachati, did you go outside of Vrindavan. When Akura takes Krishna to Mathura, actually at the Jamuna, at Akura Ghat, Krishna and Balaram change their form. Right? They give up their manifested form and they assume what form? Lila Smarna Swarup. Right? And then Vasudeva and Shankarshan portions go to Mathura. Like that. But Krishna, he gives up his manifest form, he then takes another form which is more intimate than his manifest form, Lila Smarna Swarup. So this meditation on Krishna by remembering his pastimes is a more close form like that. And it's real like that. It's more real than the manifest form in some ways, although all connected. So now he's beginning this Smarna of Braja, Vrindavan. the personality of Lord God, Lord Bhoja. Thereafter, his father, being afraid of Kamsa, brought him to the cow pastures of Nanda Maharaj. He lived there for 11 years like a covered flame with his elder brother Baladev. In his childhood, the Almighty Lord was surrounded by cowherd boys and calves. And thus he traveled on the shore of the Jamuna, Jamuna Tiruvanachari, through gardens densely covered with trees and filled with the vibrations of chirping birds. And who's in charge of all that? Arranging all those forests, those places like that nicely? She was here before. She disappeared. Oh, there she is, right behind you. Vrindadevi ki jai, vrinde namaste charanaravindam. So she's given this responsibility for arranging all these things. The birds that sing, the parrots that recite the Vedas, you know, by memory, the flowers, the creepers like that. When the Lord displayed his activities just suitable for childhood, he was visible only to the residents of Vrindavan. Sometimes he would cry and sometimes laugh, just like a child. And while doing so, he appeared like a lion cub. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who was the reservoir of all opulences and fortune, used to blow his flute. And thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. Prabhupada says the cowherd boys, they stick with Krishna through thick and thin. Like that. Yeah, yeah. The great wizards who were able to assume any form were engaged by the king of Bhoja, Kamsa, to kill Krishna. But in the course of his pastimes, the Lord killed them as easily as a child breaks dolls. The inhabitants of Vrindavan were perplexed by the great difficulties because a certain portion of the Jamuna was poisoned by the chief of reptiles, Kaliya. The Lord chastised the snake king within the water and drove him away. And after coming out of the river, he caused the cows to drink the water and proved that the water was again in its natural state. The Supreme Lord, Krishna, desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Nanda Maharaj for the worship of the cows. And he also wanted to give a lesson to Indra, the king of heaven. Thus he advised his former to perform worship of Go, or the pasturing land, and the cows with the help of the learned brahmanas. Gopijana Balaba Girivaradari. O sober Vidura, King Indra, his honor having been insulted, poured water incessantly on Vrindavan, and thus the inhabitants of Braja, the land of cows, were greatly distressed, but the compassionate Lord saved them from the danger by his pastime umbrella of Govardhan Hill. So on the altar in our temple there is a piece of Govardhan that was there 5,000 years ago and was lifted up by Krishna. In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in the autumn night brightened by moonshine. Lessons of Bhaktivedanta translations of text chapter 2. Then chapter 3 starts talking about pastimes outside of Vrindavan. Like that. So Prabhupada says, if we can understand the love of the gopis for Krishna after 10,000 lifetimes, we're making rapid progress. Like that. But still, it's just somebody, by hearing these things, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can begin to appreciate these things, understand them like that. And this is, Taddama Paramam Mama, right? This is my supreme abode. And we should aspire for that. We should try and think, okay, this is, this movement is sublime. It's a sublime movement. What is an example of a sublime reaction in chemistry?
Gas.
What?
Gas.
Yeah. Carbon dioxide melting. You get dry ice. It's made of carbon dioxide. What happens when it melts? Yeah, because it goes directly to gas. There's no, if you really control it, probably down to like 1/10,000th of a degree, you can get into a liquid state. But it goes directly. So that's called sublime. Limina means senses, sense perception. So some, you can't see it. It goes from one to the other like that. So the most gross people, Kali Yuga people, by the mercy of Gauratai, they can suddenly appreciate these things that even Lord Brahma has difficulty understanding. Right? Just by chanting, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vats Arya Gaur. Gaura Bhakta Vrindavan. And following it with Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We have achieved the perfection of life. I heard that from Prabhupada's lips. Yeah. So that's simple. Just go on like that, go on. You know? Then we can begin to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam and these pastimes, these activities, what Uddhava is really experiencing, how he's talking about these things. You know? And this is a great summary of Krishna's pastimes in these two chapters like that. Very nice to read them. You know? And so many beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan, you know, but it's a land of intense love. So you can't see these things. You can't appreciate them. They appear external. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says when you go to Vrindavan, you can be in the Dham or on the Dham. For example, all the asphalt roads you drive your cars on with pneumatic tires and pushing the brake pedals and the gas pedal with your shoes and with your socks. These things are all on the Dham. You know, past your socks, past your shoes, past the gas pedal, past the linkage, past the tires, past the asphalt, there is Vrindavan, right? But it becomes covered, you know, because of our offensive activities. And, it's too difficult to walk here. Too many problems, too many thorns, too many things like this and that, right? And so then, you know, it becomes covered, right? Because of offenses. You know, for example, like in Bimalkund, here's our map of Vrindavan. Okay. Here's a river Jamuna. She turns three times because she doesn't want to leave. Like that. She goes like that. Yeah. And then down here's Mathura, where Krishna appeared. Other side, down below, is Gokula, like that. Mahavan, where he grew up. Rabal, where Radharani appeared. You know, a little older, they moved to Chatikar, which is on the road into Vrindavan town, and she was at Basanti, like that. So always together, Gokula, Rabal, Chatikar, Vrindavan, Basanti. Then Krishna moved to Nandagaon, and Radharani moved to Barsana, like that. Yeah. So always together. So, Rabal? Let's talk one place. Oh yeah, so if you go with the Braj Mandal Parikrama, it's very nice, it's very difficult, but it takes 1 month. Lokanath Maharaj and his devotees organizing this every year during Kartik. You take off on the first day and walk to Mathura, spend another day there seeing all the places where, go to Kubja's house, all the brahmacharis stay outside. And you go to Kangsa Teel, where Kangsa, you know, got, you know, his teeth knocked out and everything. And see all these places there. Then we go out to Dhruva Teel, where Dhruva Maharaj did austerities in Madhuvan. And like this, you go through Talavan, Bahulavan, and then finally Govardhan. You come around then to Kamyavan, you know, where Krishna had many pastimes. And there's one kunda there called, Bimalkund, where's Kubera? He knows all these things, you know. Yeah, he was on there. Bimalkund. So the history of that kunda is that there was one king, the ladies in Ayodhya, married ladies, when they saw Ram, they were still, you know, feeling, say, you know, attraction like that, because a conjugal lover to him, they were ashamed to feel these things, a married lady, you know. But, you know, Krishna's, Ram communicated, all right, your next birth, you can have this relation of service, of love like that. So anyway, the Maharaj Bimal, he had a very powerful king. He was the king of Sindhu Pradesh. And he had all these daughters, you know. It's okay, time to get them married, but he just couldn't arrange it. This wasn't working out for any of them. So finally he called an all-knowing astrologer. And the astrologer did all the chart for the girls. He said, it's interesting. Next girl. Next one. He said, the king, it's very interesting, but your girls, all your daughters, none of them can be married to anybody other than God. He said, oh, great. And how am I going to find God? He said, well, wait a second. Okay, it's connected. He said, well, according to my calculations, he's in Mathura. Like that. He looks like this and that and so on, you know. So then Maharaj sent somebody to Mathura and he couldn't find anybody and this and that, and Kangsa was persecuting everybody. And he's about to leave and he went to Gokula and he saw this person standing there who had these symptoms, you know, that had been described to him, like he's just looked like this, looked like that. So he asked him, he said, are you God? And then Krishna kind of looked around and said, shh. He said, Yes, yes. Like that. And he said, oh, well, excuse me. I said, but I'm being sent by Mars, Bimal, and all of his daughters are supposed to be married to you. And so Krishna said, yes, I know. Bring them. It's okay. You know. So they all came, and it was a big wedding and big party. And that night, all the Bimal gopis were then dancing with Krishna, and dancing and dancing and dancing. And their perspiration then of Krishna and these gopis combined and made Bimal Kund. Right? So these kundas in Vrindavan are as sacred as Charnamrita, like that. But you see people brushing their teeth and spitting in them, like that. And if you saw somebody in the temples, you know, brushing their teeth and spitting in the Charnamrita bowl, you just, you know, after you're shocked, you know, beat the rascal, something like that. So it's very offensive, you know. And what to speak of, you know, offense to the Charnamrita, Bimal Kund, all these kundas. It's also very bad for this person. His reaction will be bad. So out of mercy in some ways, these different places become covered. You know, even in my particular time of being in Vrindavan, I've seen so many places becoming covered. Govardhan is sinking. You know, we're not going to see Govardhan much longer like that. And then so finally, by the end of the Kali Yuga, everything in Vrindavan is covered, except for one aspect. One aspect of Vrindavan is spiritual right to the end of the Kali Yuga. What is that? No. The dust of Vrindavan. Yeah. So there's nothing more merciful than dust of Vrindavan. Oh. Yeah. So Prabodhananda Saraswati is an incarnation of Tungavidya, one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, father of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he wrote Shatakas, 100 verses glorifying Vrindavan Dham, like that. And but he wrote, but we have 18 of them, which is how many verses? 18 shatakas, 1,800 verses, like that. It's incredible. Oh, he was high class Brahmin. The Sanskrit is just incredible. I know Sanskritists who were kind of critical of the Hare Krishna movement as being a low class movement. After they read that, they were just changed their mind completely. This is high-class Sanskrit. So he wrote these things. He's the incarnation of Tungavidya. And he's a fanatic. He, she is a fanatic about Vrindavan Dham. If anybody tells me to leave Vrindavan, I will cut out his tongue. If anybody tries to drag me out by force, I will kill him. Even if I have to live by stealing from others, and I'm so hungry I'm crying, I will never leave Vrindavan Dham. After seeing the beauty of Vrindavan, anybody who wants to go to any other forest is like somebody who knowingly rejects Mahaprasadam to eat the excrement of a dog. Vrindavan Dham. Yeah. He says, you may merge into the impersonal Brahman, experience this ecstasy. What is this? You may embrace the breasts of Urvasi, heavenly nymph. What is this? You may drink nectar with Indra. Oh boy, like that. What is this? The blades of grass in Vrindavan reject all these things. They spit on them. Vrindavan Dham ki. Blades of grass in Vrindavan Dham ki. If you're in Vrindavan reading these things on the parikrama out there, you know, you begin to, you know, really intense. This is avibhava. We're choosing the vibhavas to stimulate our feelings. And you appreciate, oh, what a wonderful place. If you roll in the dust, if you roll in the dust of Vrindavan Dham, it will be very easy for you to achieve that same exalted position as a fortunate handful of pearls that was personally made into a garland by Krishna himself and then hung around the neck of Radharani. If you roll in the dust of Vrindavan, it will be very easy for you to attain the same position. That's a good position, right? Be hanging around Radharani's neck. Yeah. Vrindavan Dham ki. Yeah. Dust of Vrindavan Dham ki. Yeah. But it's a very, very dangerous place as well. It's very reactive. You have to practice. You can't go there just by, you know, buying an airplane ticket, buying a bus ticket. You have to go there by following instructions of the six Goswamis, how it says. Rupa Goswami, nectar of devotion, nectar of instruction. You know, Prabhupada's giving us this. You know. So gradually we go through these stages, becoming purified, and we should understand what stage we're on, because there's different medicine at different levels. right? Different medicine at different levels like that. You know? You may have some very bad disease, the doctor does an analysis, and he says, look, you know, you're going to have to fast to get rid of this. But if I put you on a fast right now, you're going to die. So right now I'm going to give you some medication, some treatment, and the symptoms are going to get worse, but don't worry, I know that. Once you build your strength up a little bit, then we're going to go into some serious fasting and get this out of you. So a doctor knows, okay, at this level you need this, at this level you need this, at this level you need this. And so we have to know that. It's one of the aspects of bhakti yoga. It's a yoga like that. It's a science like that. So any comments or koi prashna hai? Every morning in the parikrama, in the Brajmanda parikrama, sleeping in tents, walking 15, 20, 30 kilometers with no shoes for 1 month in Vrindavan. You know, there's no bathing facilities, no toilets, you know. About 5 years ago, there were three devotees who were German infantry soldiers before on the parikrama. And they said, if you can do this, you can be a German infantry soldier. Yeah. And I have one aspirant about a year ago. He'd been a Green Beret in the Spanish Army. And I asked him, is that true? And he said, well, we did things that were more intense sometimes, but on a prolonged basis, no, nothing ever harder than this. Every day you get to find where's the water, set up your tent, wash your clothes in a bucket, you know, and sleep with people coughing. And it's like, you know, 200 people in the tent around you. It's unbelievable. To see if you want to do this, you know, surrender to Krishna. You know. So and it, you know, it's wonderful for sadhana bhakti, just sadhana bhakti, because it's very regulated. You can't think about anything else. You're just walking. There's no stores or anything. You're camping, always talking about Krishna, chanting. So it's also very wonderful for vaidhi bhakti, very regulated program. In the beginning, the ladies try and maintain their, you know, their appearance and their clothes, you know. But, you know, again, there's you know, if you eat too much, you get diarrhea because your body can't handle it. It just dumps it out. If you don't eat enough, you can't walk, you know. So there's a whole thing of understanding exactly how your body works, you know, really, and just use it like a tool. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, you treat your senses roughly, like that. St. Francis says, this body is an ass that you ride through this world. Don't spend all of your time taking care of an ass. Right. Nice mustache, nice glasses for my ass. Put him up on a platform, see my ass. No, he's an ass. Keep him healthy, put him to work. You know, stick your body in a shower, you know, cold shower. Make it, you know, yeah. Feed it simple food. So after about 4 or 5 days, all the ladies also look like German infantry soldiers. It's just like this. No makeup, just simple, you know, hardworking, like, okay, it's just, there's no passion. It's very nice, you know, for sadhana bhakti. You know. But actually, you know, I write a whole thing about this. It's very difficult for Westerners now because of many things like that, you know, in terms of how it's adjusted. They've only about 5 Westerners out of 450 devotees, about 5 Westerners on the whole thing like that. You know. Many things like that, so on. But the devotees that came with me, they were all saying it was very difficult, this and that. But they said, I realized there was no other way to get this experience. Because you go for one day and come back. You go come back to, you know, Krishna Balaram Temple. But no, there you're living in Vrindavan. You get down in the dirt. It's like, you see the Brijbasis, how they live in their houses. And you can realize these are not ordinary people. You only take birth in Vrindavan if Krishna lets you take birth there. You know, the Brijbasis have already gone through all the austerities of Vaidhi Bhakti and Sadhana Bhakti and everything else you can do to take birth there. There's some little thing left to work out in your emotional relationship with Krishna. Right? Who killed Krishna? Huh? No, who killed Krishna? Huh? Somebody killed Krishna. Jara, one hunter. Right? He shot Krishna in the foot. But he thought it was the ears of a deer, so he shot his arrow. Then he went through, oh, it's Krishna. And he was aghast because everybody knew Krishna. Krishna was on CNN every night. Who is he? No, he's a wonderful person. This happened. So everybody knew Krishna. You know? But he was somebody who, you know, appreciated Krishna. He shot him. He was dying. Nobody dies from being shot in the foot. But then Krishna said, it's all right, it's all right. In your previous lifetime, you were Bali. Yeah. And I shot you with an arrow from behind. And so, and it was true. It was right. I was just dishonest thing for me to do. And now you've always had this desire for revenge, which is justified. So now, are we equal? Have you got your revenge? And so then the hundred Bali is just crying and crying and saying, no, 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 you never did anything wrong. It was all my own sinful activity. It was right for you to kill me. You saved me. So a little bit left, right? We finish this lifetime perfectly. We go where Krishna has pastimes for a little bit of final, something to finish off a final little bit of purification. So people take birth in Vrindavan. They're not ordinary people. Across the street from our Krishna Balaram temple, I can't get why I mentioned this or not. Anyway, there's one store, and one person there, I'll change his name now, Bogilal Patel. He's born in Vrindavan. And his store, you can get anything you want in his store. It's not all on the counter, but anything you want. Yeah, that's the kind of store. So there's three gangs, or four gangs that run Vrindavan. I think it's the Yadavas, the Sharmas, and the Guptas, and the police. Right? And they all have kind of equal power, equal characters. They're always kind of. So one point we didn't see Bogilal for about 2 weeks, you know, and we're asking, you know, we saw him finally, he said, oh, where have you been? He said, oh, I was in the jail. Oh, really? What happened? He said, one of the Yadavas, you know, beat up one of our leaders, Guptas, or whatever, Patels, whatever it is, you know, and we had to, like, you know, equal it out, show we're tough, you know. And so I was on a motor scooter, and I saw one of the Yadavas there, their leaders, and I had a screwdriver, and I hit him right in the back of the head as you're going by on the screwdriver. And so he was had a concussion for 2 weeks, and I was in the hospital in prison for assault for 2 weeks. You know. So he's a Brijbasi, born in Vrindavan. My God, you know, thinking, how can this happen? But the next thing he says is, Bhagavan's not going to be happy with me. Completely Krishna conscious. Some people are thieves, some people are pigs, some people are saints, some people are trees, but all Krishna conscious. I write poetry sometimes. It kind of comes. Someone told me to try this. I tried it. Everybody should try it. Try and write poetry. So I went into Mayapur one time, and this one came. The land, the cows, the buffaloes, and the trees are all unlimited nectarian seas of the most intense mellows of spiritual pain, something which only the most fortunate ever obtain. Dam and Dam Ki. So, you know, we have different levels. Purification, appreciation, and then this is where we're going. To enjoy ourselves? No, because Krishna has so many things he wants to do, and there's not enough people to help him. Right? So he wants more and more people to come and join his pastimes to play with him. Krishna Bhagavan. So any final questions or comments? That's twice. Yeah. That's the second. No, that's the second question. No, it's the second final question. Yeah.
Maharaj, you said that heaps of past activity that Gopas have done, that's why they were able to play with Krishna. But many times people have a misunderstanding about the past activity.
Actually, I learned about this about 7 years ago in Nilamadava Dham. Had a seminar program, and Rompa Maharaj was talking about this from Madhurya Kadambani. But then, I read about it also in the purport. And Prabhupada says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, there are three kinds of punya. He mentioned this. Punya, to enjoy life in the material world. You do good things so you get good results. You go and study, you do austerities so you get a degree, so you can make money. Or ultimately, if you're more intelligent, so you can go to Swarga, so you can go to the moon. You do punya, pious activities. But the second kind of pious activity is to get out of the material world. You're more intelligent. You realize there's nothing here. I just want peace. Get out of this place. I don't want to. You know, if I become Indra, I still have to put up with Sachi Devi and my wife. And she wants this. She wants that. You know, but she's really beautiful. But you know, but still, you know, okay. I have to forget it. I want out. So you do punya, right? To get out. You know. And the third kind of punya is in pious activities to advance in devotional service, like that. Yeah. 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 So to go from Ayodhya to Goloka, you have to do punya. You have to engage in pious activities. Shrimatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is the greatest pious activity from the very beginning to the very end. As soon as you can take to this process of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, there's no faster, better pious activity like that. You know, to become free from these things, and then also then to become advanced. You know? Yeah?
Now you said that from Ayodhya, Dwarka, you know, yeah. Like Punya wants to go to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
But isn't it, once constitutional position is not to be in Vrindavan, then Punya would...
In understanding these things, in the spiritual world, everything is sat. Everything exists, chits, a certain way, like that. So somebody has a, you know, for example, which is a more advanced dom? You know, Jagannath Puri or Vrindavan? Which is more advanced? Yeah, generally speaking. But Lord Chaitanya comes there, and then Jagannath Puri supplies the gambira, Isai supplies the position where Lord Chaitanya can relish the pastimes of Vipralamba Seva, the feelings of Radharani in separation from Krishna. And that's more advanced than most of Vrindavan. It's only a very, very exclusive part of Vrindavan where those pastimes go on. So within Jagannath Puri, it's more advanced. So the thing is, we don't want to give up anything. Whatever our service is, we only want to improve it. Yeah? But we can do that. We can go on improving, yeah? Like that. Yeah. And, you know, Uddhava says, not Uddhava, Ramananda Roy says, tatastasta, from a neutral position, talking about Chaitanya, we can judge the different people on different levels. But he said, that's very rare. I mean, nobody's in Vrindavan, nobody's in a neutral position, pretty much, very few people. You know? But yeah, there's a hierarchy. But he says, whatever position, whatever position you're in, that's the best position for you. Even in sadhana bhakti, right? Whatever position for you, I'm trying to stop smoking, I'm focusing on this, that's the best position for you. Don't worry about who's more advanced than you are. That has no meaning. Right? You know, whatever your position is, that's the best position for you. So Hanuman's not thinking about buying a sari and, you know, putting on gopi dots or something like that. No. But he's appreciating, you know, Ram and Sita and different pastimes like that. And he can add that flavor to his service. Yeah? And so it becomes more intense. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ayalila, it says that by worshipping Purusha avatars, one can be worshipped to promoted to Lila avatars. By worshipping Lila avatars, one can be promoted to Sankarshan, then to Goloka, like that. So when we have our Stai Bhava, we're not going to give it up. But again, you know, we have to advance it. And devotional service means improving your service. Right? Yeah.
What are some examples of pious activities in those different
categories? Yeah, we will see. Under the Varnashram system, the rules and regulations for Brahmacharya. Yeah, we have to get an education so that you can enjoy in Grihastha life like that. You see this, you know, somebody goes to college. It's austerity. It's hard work. But then you become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, and then when you get married, you can marry a good mate, right? And have auspicious life and good income, like that. Yeah? So, under the Varnashram system, different things like that. Yeah? And then liberation, again, controlling the mind, sharing all wealth. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 12, Krishna says, by being equally disposed to everybody, you know, by restraining the senses, by living in a secluded place, by controlling the speaking power, by discriminating between the different elements in the Sankhya system, by doing Astanga Yoga, you can get liberation. Like that. Yeah. And then, you know, in devotional service, probably, you know, hearing and chanting is the most pious. But also worshipping Tulsi, worshipping the deity, living in Mathura, right, associating with devotees, honoring prasadam. Yeah.
How do we, even though we say that duck is independent of bicycle, so how do we, like, how does the bicycle unite?
Well, Rupa Goswami explains in the beginning, vairagya and jnana, vairagya's highest activities, they may be useful to get a position, to get a foothold, but once you have a little bit of ability to do service, you appreciate, yeah, it's a fact, okay? Then, yeah, as much as possible, remain engaged in devotional service. That's the most supremely pious activity. All your bad karma will burn up, you'll satisfy your desires that are keeping you entangled, you get free from those things the quickest way, and then you can advance. Because these are not, this is the quotation, of course, is Sukadeva Goswami says, when the cowherd boys are playing that verse, that only after acquiring heaps of pious activities were they able to play with the Supreme Lord as an intimate friend. Maybe you can remember when you were a child, how much fun it is to play, or how absorbing it is to play with bicycles or dolls or something. It's just absorbing, So if you're playing with Krishna, this becomes, it becomes unbelievable. Like that, so intense. The Pandavas, right, in Radhakund. The Pandavas, they were living in Mathura, Mandal for some time, like that, during the exile. They went someplace else and came back after a while. So in Radhakund is describing the most intense place of Krishna's. What kind of pious activities do we have in spiritual life? Do we have to acquire to go there? So they were digging the kunda. And then the Pandavas came in the dream and said that, we're these five trees, we're there, residing there, and please, we want to stay here and watch these activities like that. So, these activities are so intense, so fine, so wonderful. To participate in that, you have to be so, qualified. So the Pandavas are, imagine you're saying, asking Lalita, let us stay here, we'll just stand here, we won't do anything, we'll be very good trees, and like that, Yeah, so that's what they were able to do. They were able to come to that level of being trees in the bank of Radhakund. Yeah. So many activities, worshiping Tulsi. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh yes, but yeah.
Is it necessary that when we do the prayer, like in the morning, we clean ourselves and we do not? When we pray, we shouldn't eat anything. Like people like us, we have kids, and we're busy. We don't get time. We have to run for the jobs. And in the morning, we do need to eat something. And whenever we are free, we pray.
Yeah.
So is that considered to be prayer, or is it necessary that we have to do the prayer in front of the God and do not eat anything?
Yeah. So this is Vaidhi Bhakti. Devotional service. And it's very big. There's so many details, rules and regulations, different things, different details. And so it's a science. It's learning it gradually like that, how to do it. And some things are more important than other things. One of the most important things is you have to understand what are the priorities and get the first things done first. So Harunama, 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 Eva Kevala, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyatal. Chant the names of God. Chant the names of God. Chant the names of God. In this age of Kali, there is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Is there some other way? No. So the first thing, Prabhupada says in this movement, the Sankirtan movement, there are many services given by the spiritual master. But the most essential is chanting 16 good rounds every day. So when he's giving his Vaidhi Bhakti, Rupa Goswami gives 50 principles. There are many more, but these are the most important ones. What's the first principle? Mr. Bhakti Shastri. No. The first principle of Vaidhi Bhakti is taking shelter of an acharya. And it means to hear from him. So we're talking, quoting from Prabhupada, he's an acharya. Listening to him like that, it's the first thing. And after that, you come to the point where you understand things well enough. Then you take diksha. You formally, sir, please accept me as your student for formal study, formal degree, certificate program. And then you ask more questions, and on like that. So Prabhupada is saying that the most important thing, if you're taking shelter of him specifically, you know, in the Kali Yuga, it's just the holy names, but he specifically gives people who are under his shelter this vrata of 16 malas a day. One, I think it's Ramanuja Sampradaya, one person, his vrata was from his guru, Acharya, 4 malas a day, Vishnu mantra, not Hare Krishna, in the morning, and 4 malas in the evening, and then whole Bhagavad Gita every day in Sanskrit. So if you went to Prabhupada, Prabhupada would probably say, is he Indian? Yes. This will work. You know, different doctors, but okay, but Acharya gives you the medicine. So Prabhupada told us, 4 principles strictly, 16 good rounds. And he also says, we require everyone to arise early by 4 o'clock in the morning, perform Mangala Artik, you know, Brahma Muhurta, like that. So, most essential thing is chanting 16 good rounds. As myself, I try to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, almost always do it. I chant my rounds before Mangala Artik. Mangala Artik is intense at that time. More rounds afterwards, chanting some more prayers, studying, answering the telephone, deity worship, and then Bhagavatam class, breakfast, take a nap. By 10 o'clock, I've been up working hard for 8 hours. That's sannyas dharma. Right? Grihastha dharma, they say that Prabhupada said that I would always chant 4 rounds after I got up, before I took my breakfast, Indian work, 4 more rounds would be done. I wouldn't touch that breakfast until 8 rounds were done. During the day, I would find a chance to chant 4 more good rounds. And then before I got in bed at night, those last 4 rounds would be done. So he said this way it wasn't a burden. You know, like that. So yeah, different ashram, different mind, different ability. You have to work it out for yourself. But the basic principle is 16 good rounds. My own hierarchies are 16 good rounds, 4 principles, Mangala Artik, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sankirtan, evening program. Like that. And then after that, there's so many, you know, Prabhupada says that every person advanced in spiritual life should bathe 3 times a day, apply Urdhva Panda, Tilak, and chant Gayatri Mantra. You know? But, you know, in the Western modern world, you're traveling, you know, you can't take a bath, and these Gayatri Mantras should be done after you bathe. So these Bhagavat Mantras, they have potency even if you're not following so many rules and regulations. But the Vedic mantras, the Gayatris and things like this, they pretty much have to be performed according to certain rituals and, what's the word, purushartha, things beforehand, do your pranayama and so on. So anyway, you apply it, you know. But the main thing is to chant properly, nicely. And you can see, if I eat a big meal first, I'm falling asleep, like my mind is agitated because of my senses. No, you gradually begin to work it out. Eat a little bit now, some fruit. Otherwise, then probably when he would wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to translate, he would have some sandesh. To in the middle of the night, he'd eat sandesh. But a little bit, because he needed some sugar and milk to make the brain work. You know? Okay? Okay. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami says, if you're traveling, you can't do anything else, wash your mouth. Because there's so many nerves in the mouth, that you try that, you feel like you're stimulated. Then wash your hands and face. Like that, and then chant. So, questions? Yes, sir. The last question.
Can you explain what the Acharyas say about Krishna leaving this world? You just mentioned.
Yeah.
Jara killed him.
Yeah.
People say, "Oh, Krishna died. Actually, he's mortal."
Yeah.
So, how do the Acharyas explain his leaving this material world and going to this?
It's called the Mausala Lila. Usually the Acharyas don't talk too much about it. How Krishna left. It's too unhappy, you know. But, say that just so the atheists would have their facility so they could go on with their illusion. Krishna's not forcing anybody to give up their illusion. You want to do this? Okay. Then he appeared to have these material pastimes. And the body he left behind was the Virat Rup and the universal form. The mountains are his bones, the rivers are his veins, you know, the fragrance of the earth, you know, all these things, the clouds are his hair on his head. So we see this universe as like a person. Pantheism, right? If you're a gross materialist, everything's coming from atoms and molecules. When Zint Gyorgy, Nobel laureate, when he got his prize, he said, I became a biologist because I wanted to understand what was life. As a young man, I wanted to know what is life. And so I've gone through my whole career, I've engaged other people, and at the end of my career I am left with nothing but atoms and molecules, which are completely devoid of all life whatsoever. So in my old age, I'm forced to retrace my steps and find out where life slipped through my fingers, It's very poignant. Yeah. So beyond that pantheism, there is something, the nature, how it's integrated like that, and you appreciate it, that level. So with a devotional attitude, that helps. It helps you to advance. Without a devotional attitude, there's not much help, much effect, but there's some. So that virat root, that universal form of the Lord, is mostly imagination. The Prabhupada says it's the objective material incarnation of Krishna. Virat root. It's the objective material incarnation of Krishna. And he says, but Krishna doesn't incarnate as a material object. But that's what's happening. So the body left, what is that? So people could think like that and act like that. Yeah, but anybody who can lift Govardhan Hill at what, 6 years old, is it? Like that. Okay? So you chant a little more? A little more kirtan and then Mahaprasadam. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Jaya Radhe. Jaya Krishna. Jaya Vrindavan.
Jaya Vrindavan.
Jai. Chandra Bhagavan ki.
Now. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for enlightening us. We're really grateful to you, and thank you all for all of you for coming here and enlightening this program. So now we'll have the last part of the program, which is the most awaited part.
Good.
And I request all of you, or some of you, to at least make three rows, three columns, so that we can start serving the prasadam.
This way, huh? Okay.
Yeah. It's a roasting.